Good morning. My name is Mary Bender, and I'm a member of the Board of Trustees and Financial Secretary for this church. I'd like to extend a special welcome to any newcomers with us this morning. If you'd like to be on the mailing list, please sign up out in the narthex, and I would encourage you to spend some time getting to know us. We invite you to obtain some additional information on the pamphlet rack, which is on the right as you exit the doors at the back. So whether you ran in here on little feet today or walked in, ambled in, or rolled in, you are welcome here. Whatever the flags of your heritage, you are welcome here. May you find some new things to revere. Whatever your religious background or lack of religion, you're welcome here. May you find new things to discover. Whatever your political persuasion and whomever you have grown to love, you are welcome here in this religious community. May you find a connection here. And now, if you are willing and able, please stand for hymn 298, Wake Now My Senses.
Bree Bird, I'm a member of your worship arts team. Each week we gather here to do this thing we call church. Each time we gather, we make the choice to be present in the moment, not to leave all of the outside world behind, to leave our muck and our struggles outside the door, but instead to bring our whole selves into this room and be present in our hearts, our minds, and our bodies for one another. To bring our presence and awareness to these moments in our journeys alongside one another, to bring our presence to one another's lives and choose mindfulness as one of the ways in which we journey the universe. In choosing and embracing mindfulness in these moments, we can create sanctuary and community. We create the church itself. Not the building or the walls that make it up, but the near infinite possibilities within them. Thank you for your presence and your mindfulness this morning. Anna, would you come light the chalice for us? We light our chalice this morning with the words of Jon Kabat-Zinn. Have you ever had the experience of stopping so completely, of being in your body so completely, of being in your life so completely, that what you knew and what you didn't know, that what had been and what was yet to come, and the way things are right now, no longer hold even the slightest hint of anxiety or discord. It would be a moment of complete presence beyond striving, beyond mere acceptance, beyond the desire to escape or fix anything or plunge ahead. A moment of pure being, no longer in time, a moment of pure seeing, pure feeling. A moment in which life simply is, and that isness grabs you by all of your senses, all your memories, by your very genes, by your loves, and welcomes you home. One of the ways we choose mindfulness during service here is to bring our awareness and our presence to our joys and cares, to acknowledge both our own struggles and celebrations and those in the lives of those beside us and around us. Some of those joys and cares are shared here within this book. Margie Rittenhouse wants all of you to know how happy your phone calls and cards have made her. She thanks you for all of the smiles they bring. Barb Opie, Tim Ray, and family would like you all to keep in mind the sudden death of a close family friend, Bev Breath, another indication of how fleeting and precious life is. And today is Mark Gizro's birthday, and he got to drive to Kansas to help his family during their transitions and health issues. Peter has recently graduated high school, and Sam have joined them. We'll have a period of silence where we hold the joys and cares shared and unshared in our hearts. When the singing bowl sounds, please join in lighting a candle to remember a loved one, mark an event, or because you feel moved to do so.
There's a park in the city of Berea, Ohio. Coe Lake is a former quarry that was turned into a lake with pathways winding gently through a beautiful wooded area. I took many walks through Coe Lake, and each one of them carries its own set of memories. But this particular walk was unique. Unique because I was not having a good time. I was walking around with a book in my hands, poring over the lines within, trying to memorize dialogue. I was taking a French conversation class during my first semester at Baldwin Wallace, and the class was taught and experienced entirely in French. Now, I did not and do not know the French language well enough to take this class, but I'm also very stubborn. So I took the course anyway, and now it was time for the final exam. Part of that involved memorizing and reciting dialogue from the French play Cyrano de Bergerac. So here I was, trying to memorize a series of words I didn't understand. To memorize them well enough that I would know when it was my time to speak, despite not understanding the conversation. My anxiety was steadily rising throughout the night as it got darker and darker. I could only walk back and forth on certain parts of the path now that were lit well enough for me to continue reading in my book. Walking turned to pacing, breathing to hyperventilating. Eventually, I could no longer walk around, and I sat down on a rock that featured graffiti of the video game character Mario on the side. I could barely breathe at times, and I could only imagine how poorly my final exam the next morning was going to go. As a musician, however, breathing was the one thing I did know I could absolutely control. So as I sat there on the rock, I closed my eyes and ran myself through some breathing exercises that I used as part of practicing my trombone. I didn't really think about why, but I did it. As I sat there, breathing deeply and as slowly as I could muster, I began to think. I am woefully unprepared for this exam. I can barely remember words in the language I grew up speaking sometimes. How am I going to remember an entire scene of a play I don't understand? This is a group exam, so if I let myself down, I'm also letting two other people down. It's my first semester at this school, and I'm going to fail something. What does that say about me? I had a lot of thoughts that night, none of them all that great. I ended up laying down on that rock at one point, if I remember correctly. I was physically, emotionally, and mentally uncomfortable, and at the end of it all, I stood and realized I had not solved a single problem. But that was okay. I was aware of the issues I was facing, and I was aware that it was too late for me to do anything about them. I was aware of everything I was feeling in that moment, and I didn't like it, but there it was. I had something to accomplish, and I had specific steps I could take to work toward that end. And I would spend the rest of the night memorizing my lines, and I would go on to fail that exam. But not the course. I had done well enough on assignments to eke out a C. Good thing I didn't panic.
We invite you to join in a bubble communion. I carry emergency bubbles. No, really, it's a thing. It was a habit I developed very early on in learning about mindfulness and mental health treatment. I learned that sometimes when the world around you and in your own head gets too loud and too fast and too overwhelming, when you start feeling disconnected to everything, you need an emergency stop button. And bubbles make a great stop button. Bonus, I have definitely found it physically impossible to angrily blow bubbles. Over the years, I've experimented with just about every kind of meditation I've heard of, and I have found few things have ever worked as well for me as bubbles. There is also a component to my personal spiritual path that I believe as adults, we often lose an amazing ability that we have as children in play to just be 100% in the moment, present in our own bodies and emotions, and to be comfortable with that. Bubbles are also a great metaphor for Unitarian Universalism itself. Think about this for a moment. Focus and think about it as you pause, breathe, and blow bubbles. Notice how they make you feel without judging that emotion. Notice how your breathing feels, how your own bubbles look as they raise into the air, the colors, the path they take. As you use, we believe each of us has our own path, our own individual search for truth and meaning, our own ways of finding connection to whatever source we may see as divine. Blowing bubbles is physically a solitary act. You alone control how hard you are breathing, or how you choose to blow bubbles, or even whether you choose to wave your wand or not blow bubbles at all. Much of it is out of our control. The wind, the quality of the bubble solution, the directions our bubbles travel. But we alone control how we react to those things, how we choose to respond, what we believe is the right way to blow bubbles. There is no wrong answer, emotion or way, only our own. Now as you blow, focus on the bubbles around you. Not just your own. Everyone's bubbles. Look at the faces of the people around you blowing bubbles and the emotions on their face. All of the bubbles converging together and journeying together, just like us. Notice if people are smiling or laughing. Notice how much more beautiful the bubbles are coming together. This, to me, is the beauty of our journey together, that though we are all on our own paths or starting from different beliefs or places, we have the ability to create something as beautiful as a room full of bubbles and joy, a place and idea that becomes, if nothing else, a sanctuary of the moment. We invite you to stay present in this moment of mindfulness, this communion of bubbles, as the drumming continues. Thank you.
Today's reading comes from an excerpt from The Miracle of Mindfulness, An Introduction to the Practice of Meditation by Thich Nhat Hanh. Feelings, whether of compassion or irritation, should be welcomed, recognized, and treated on an absolutely equal basis, because both are ourselves. The tangerine I am eating is me. The mustard greens I am planting are me. I plant with all my heart and mind. I clean this teapot with the kind of attention I would have were I giving baby Buddha or Jesus a bath. Nothing should be treated more carefully than anything else. In mindfulness, compassion, irritation, mustard green plant, and teapot are all sacred.
Mindfulness can lead you to unexpected places. The White Wind Zen community describes mindfulness as wordless, meeting the moment as it is, moment after moment after moment, wordlessly attending to our experience as it actually is. They say it is opening to not just the fragments of our lives that we like or dislike or view as important, but the whole of our experiencing. At its core, mindfulness is choosing awareness and to fully experience the moment you are in, no matter how comfortable or uncomfortable it may be. To be aware of your physical, mental, and emotional reactions without judgment. So much in our world is focused on distracting ourselves through uncomfortable moments, distracting ourselves from our emotions and bodies and environment, trying to make any uncomfortable situation easier. But even those uncomfortable moments, those painful moments, sometimes we benefit by choosing to fully be present in their experience. Sometimes that experience may surprise us. I went to Washington, D.C. to attend a mass meeting and participate in a rally and demonstration with the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. I stayed with delegates from all over the country at a hostel in the city. We got to spend time at trainings, talk with one another about our stories and what moved us to activism and issues going on in our states. I got to meet incredible people with incredible stories. One of my roommates was a woman named Callie Greer, and her story was particularly heartbreaking to hear as a mother. Callie has lost two of her children, one to gun violence and one to cancer. Her daughter died of cancer because they didn't have health insurance. Prior to the rally, those of us participating in the direct action of civil disobedience received training, filled out paperwork for legal support in case of arrest, and handed over all of our personal belongings in case of emergency. Now, I had no intention of putting myself in the way of arrest. To me, these were precautions in case something went wrong. Being disabled, autistic, and having PTSD and a near phobic anxiety of police interaction, clearly there was no way I would plan to be arrested, no matter how good a cause it was for. It was just too much of a risk. And I was raised to have a backup plan to my backup plan at all times. It's usually the only way to calm my constant anxiety. But like I said, choosing mindfulness can lead you to unexpected places. Being at the rally was a strange experience. Normally in large gatherings or events that big, that memorable, I'd be wearing a camera like a shield. I experience everything through the lens of a camera. Anyone that's been near my Facebook can tell you that. But I didn't even have my phone. When you have a risk of arrest, the more things you have on you, the longer processing takes. Callie was one of the speakers at the rally. She spoke passionately of the women in the Bible who wailed, lamenting for their children. And she let out her own wail. It was a sound that I still don't have words enough to describe. It cut straight to my core. I broke. Something inside of me connected in that moment with both the pain in that sound and my own pain as a mother raising children in poverty. And I was literally sobbing. Just a short time later, we marched and blocked off the Capitol in an act of civil disobedience. And another wail went through the group. This time I was part of it. There are a few moments in my life that I can recall feeling that connected to and present in a moment, as I did standing in the street in front of the Capitol. The sun beat down and the heat rose up from the asphalt under us as I pushed myself to my literal physical limit, chanting, shouting, and singing. Peace marshals worked to keep us hydrated. People sung with us and cheered us on from the sidewalks. I surrendered myself to the moment and looked around at my fellow protesters. Other disabled activists, including a woman who had been arrested 26 times with a group called ADAPT, fighting for disability rights. Dozens of fellow UUs, including our UUA president. Other parents raising children in poverty like myself. An older homeless activist who had traveled halfway across the country just to be there. And suddenly, I was perfectly calm. I had no anxiety at all. I knew that no matter what I needed to be fully present, experience every moment of this. Callie's words kept echoing in my heart. I won't let my pain go to waste. The Capitol Police's first and second warnings came rapidly, and as they gave the third and final warning, there was no doubt in my mind that I was exactly where I was supposed to be. Now, if you had suggested 2 weeks earlier that I'd have the calm and the strength to willingly be arrested, I might have asked you if you'd been in the sun too long. But choosing mindfulness allowed me an unexpected experience and a chance to stand for what I believed in. It created a previously unforeseen possibility in my life. Shutting down the Capitol that day didn't solve all of the problems that they're fighting for. But it gave several of us who would not have had that chance to stand and make a statement. The question becomes, what possibilities do we create choosing mindfulness in our lives and our work in social justice? What unexpected places will we find ourselves?
Just as I am mindful of my height and having to move this thing back and forth, I am also mindful that it is one of the most discomforting things in life to give up some of our own wealth to others, to organizations, to whatever the case may be. So I am mindful that that is not something that is easy. And so I come with humility and appreciation as I ask you to participate in this morning's offering. And if you would like to sing along with the offering hymn this morning, 155 in your gray hymnal, please note that we will sing it through twice. And if it is your first time here with us this morning, welcome, and please let the collection basket pass you by as our guest.
Circle for the planet, circle.
As a member of the Board of Trustees, I'd like to thank you for your attendance today and for the gift of your presence with us. The gift of the care that you give to each other and the gift of your financial resources that you share with us is something that helps build this community. So please know that your financial resources will be used with diligence and care by the Finance Committee, the Board of Trustees, and this community. Thank you.
Rejoice in the world always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the world always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the world always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the world always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the world always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the world always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice,
again I say rejoice.
In the words of Eric Williams, blessed is the path on which you travel. Blessed is the body that carries you upon it. Blessed is your heart that has heard the call. Blessed is the gift that you will receive by going. Truly blessed is the gift that you will become on the journey. May you go forth in peace. If you will rise as you're willing and able and join hands for our bond of union. We join hands in Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, pledging ourselves to an individual religious freedom which transcends all creeds, not to think alike, but to journey together.